Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, and I'm going to read you a Wikipedia article. I suppose this will be episode one. It looks as 25 pages, so it should take some time to read it. So MRI is where you put yourself in a giant magnet, and the actual little protons inside all the water and fat of you is constrained, and it sings and resonates and radiates, interrogating the immediate material and its surrounds. And so the actual, it's a sort of like a two-step process. One is the energy is put into you, the energy is then taken out, and as it's taken out, it takes a sample of its region. So it's a beautiful three-dimensional technique. Now, what's happened is that I've learned it over a period of time, and as I speak to people, I think there's the effect of me sounding confident about what I'm talking about. So people agree with me, and then I ask, well, isn't this a contradiction, or is this not correct? And they have agreed with everything I've said so far, and there's obvious problems. So reading through this, I should get on top of some of what I think have been contradictions in what I understand, and all the subtleties. There's about five different techniques of using MRI at the end of it, and I've got my own historical knowledge of MRI. So let's read the article. Magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, is a medical imaging technique used in radiology to form pictures of the anatomy in the physiological processes of the body in both health and disease. Okay, well, that's a fairly thing, saying it takes a if you're well and if you're sick, it takes a shot of you, and it gives you structural and functional information. MRI scanners use strong magnetic fields and magnetic field gradients and radio waves to generate images of organs of the body. So it's a strong magnetic field, and the field gradient means that because it's a gradient going from top to bottom, it can actually mean that the ideal magnetic field is actually on a very thin plane. So above the plane it's too much, below the plane it's too little, so it's just that allows you to get a slice through it, and in that area the magnetic field is just right to be tuned to the radio frequency going across. MRI does not involve x-rays or use ionizing radiation that distinguishes it from CT or CAT scans or even PET scans. So a CT is a I wonder what the difference between a CT and a CAT scan is. So computerized tomography and computer, what does CAT stand for? That's something I haven't remembered. A PET scan is positron emission tomography. Tomography means a cut through it, and even MRI are basically the same idea as a cut. But unlike this, unlike these, well, in this family, the X-ray goes through you and is received by receivers at many different angles, and that's reconstructed. A PET scan, the radioactive source is actually, or X-ray source is put inside you, and then the detectors are either side. Inside, in this case, the source or the radiation is in all directions, but it's confined by its origin. The origin is refined in this one. This will be explained later on. Magnetic resonance imaging is a medical application of nuclear magnetic resonance, NMR. So it used to be called NMR, but people would say, you're off an NMR, and they'd say, no way, I'm not doing it. And so it caused so much problems. NMR can also be used for imaging in other NMR applications, such as NMR spectroscopy. It's all spectroscopy, but it can also pick up phosphor, anything where there's an odd nuclear magnetic resonance can pick up, and therefore pick up some chemical usage, the acidity and all these things with it. but in a real sense, it is spectroscopy anyway. I don't quite understand. So I would possibly disagree. While the hazard of X-rays have now well controlled in most medical contexts, MRA may still be seen as a better choice than the CT scan because there's no X-rays. MRI is widely used in hospitals and clinics for medical diagnosis, staging of diseases, and follow-up without exposing the body to radiation. So there's no radiation with it. However, MRA may often yield different diagnostic information compared to CT. There may be risks of discomfort associated with MRI scans. Well, I've just had a few, and this risk is having a sleep. Yeah, compared with CT scans, MRI scans typically take longer and are louder, and they usually need to be subject to enter a narrow confining tube. So a CT scan, it's over before it even begins. It's sort of, breathe, hold, that's it, thanks, out. Whereas a MRI scan takes minimum 20 minutes, maximum an hour and a half, something like that. In addition, people with some medical implants and other non-removable metal inside their body may be unable to undergo MRI scan safely. So one of the things is that they want to make sure, have you ever been involved in welding? Have you ever been involved in machining? Because machining, you can actually get a little metal piece into you. So what they do is they X-ray you for it first to try and pick it up. And if you've got plates or other things. Okay. MRI was originally called NMRI, nuclear magnetic resonance, and is a form of NMR, although the use of nuclear in the acronym was dropped to avoid negative association with the word. No, it was because it sounded like enema. Certain atomic nuclei are able to absorb and emit radio frequency energy when placed in an external magnetic field. I suppose the nuclei does. It's a magnetic dipole transition moment. In clinical and research MRI, hydrogen atoms are most often used to generate a detectable radio frequency, hydrogen nuclei they mean, that is received by antennas in proximity to the anatomy being examined, i.e. you fire in stuff, you then let it all spread out, then you trick it, you flip it over, and then when it races back to its same position, sort of like it's an echo. You see a little echo, beep. So you go, and then wait, flip, and then after the flip, it goes back to dip. That'll come certainly a bit later on. Hydrogen atoms are naturally abundant in people and other biological organisms, particularly in water and fat. For this reason, most MRI scans essentially map the location of water and fat in the body. Pulses of radio waves excite the nuclear spin energy transition. Nuclear spins or can have two states, like two quantum states. They're quantized with or against the magnetic field. And they're not perfectly aligned with it because angular momentum means that it gyrates around it. Let's go across. The magnetic field gradient localizes the signal in space. That is, the radio input has to be at the correct magnetic field. And if you've got a leveled floor, trying to think of it like a ramp, a boat ramp. Water goes at, and you've only got froth at a certain level. It'll only be at a certain level of the boat ramp. The ramp's at an angle, and so it's the correct height for the froth. Imagine a biscuit going into a cappuccino. The froth is only at a certain angle on the cappuccino. So if you have a flat thing, it's either on or off. The whole thing's either on or off. Having it at an angle, you don't have to be as accurate. You've always got some place. By varying the parameters of pulse sequence, different contrasts can be generated between tissues based on the relaxation properties of hydrogen atoms therein or hydrogen nuclei therein. So you can basically look at how it relaxes. So you're looking at a pulse, and you get echo, and if it's, there's a couple of reasons why it won't be there. So it'll be out of, it'll be either disarrayed or not there. It sort of dies off. I'll read a bit more as we go in. So that's the first page. Since the development in the 1970s and 80s, MRI has proven to be a highly versatile imaging technique. While MRI is prominently used in diagnostic medicine and biochemical research, it may also be used to form images of non-living objects. Oh, look, can I say, the combination of what I love, this rot, can I love is that they have MRI and ultrasonic ablation, so you can get focus rays, ultrasonic rays, down to hook a cancer, and you can have a cancer and watch it burn up in real time. MRI, this is fantastic. I hope they might have mentioned this. So what you do is put the person in there, and you strap them in on top of them a ultrasonic transducer, right? And the transducer's got a phase array, so it can focus down the lens. So ultrasonic waves can be just like light waves, so to speak, but light travelling in fat or tissue. You can have it focus such the wavefront focuses the beam down and just literally cooks your tumour while you're watching it. It's like the most incredible thing. MRI scans are capable of producing a variety of chemical and physical data in addition to a detailed spatial images. Yeah, so MRI can look at muscle physiology, relaxation processes, and all this type of stuff happening inside. The same increase in demand in MRI within health system has led to concerns about the cost effectiveness and overdiagnosis. Well, you can't overdiagnose me, matey. Okay. Now, constructions and physics. Okay. Let's enjoy MRI. To perform a study, the person is positioned within the MRI scanner that forms a strong magnetic field around the area being imaged, i.e. you've got superconducting magnets, that's 2 tesla around your head, and they've got liquid helium in there, it's pretty amazing. In most medical applications, protons, hydrogen atoms, or hydrogen nuclei in tissues containing water molecules create a signal that is processed into the form of images of the body. So that's, if you can get it, it's the proton density. First energy comes from oscillating magnetic fields temporarily is applied to the patient at an appropriate resonant frequency. Okay, so the radio field is actually injected into the magnetic field, but really the magnetic field is then for acting as an antenna. The excited hydrogen atoms emit a radio frequency signal which is measured by a receiving coil. That is, you just treat it like a little radio, basically. It turns them into a little radio. And the radio is charged up and the radio emits the radiation. So it's inductively charge radio. There you go. How about that for joy? The radio signal is may be made to encode position information by varying the main magnetic field using gradient coils. So you get the it's really sensitive, and so you can actually say by varying the coils you can just move your slice across it. So it's like you're in a bath. And you lift things up. I'm just trying to think of it. It's like the rings in your bath, if you've had a dirty bath. As these coils are rapidly switched on and off, they create a characteristic repetitive noise of the MRI scans. Okay. And apparently that makes the noise of a lawnmower, but I just didn't hear it. They had earplugs in. In contrast, between different tissues is determined by the rate at which excited atoms return to the equilibrium state. And that's one way, and how they line up. You'll hear about this. electrogenous contrast agents may be given to a person to make the image clearer. So they can inject gallium, which is number 8 of the lanthanide series, and it has this fantastic magnetic property. It's got, wait for it, 7 F electrons and 1 D electrons contributing to its magnetic field. So you just couldn't ask for a more magnetic material than gallium. The major component of MRI scanner is the main magnet, which polarizes the sample, shim coils for correcting the shifts in the homogeneity of the main magnetic field. The gradients, yeah, so they put coils, other coils in there. Now let's see if we've got it here. Let's see. So they've got a field and then they tweak it so it's a uniform field. Amazing stuff. The gradient system, which is used to locate the MR signal and the RF system, which excites the sample and detects the resulting MRI signal. The whole system is controlled by one or more computers. MR requires a field that is both strong and uniform. The field strength of magnet is measured in Teslas. And they've written that correct. Teslas is a small t in that way, because if you write a capital T, it's measured in the bloke called Tesla, but it's measured in the unit. And while the majority of systems operate at 1.5, commercial systems are available between 0.2 and 7 Tesla. Well, 0.2 would be nothing. 7 Teslas would be like, whoa, what's going on there? That's just mad. Most clinical magnets are superconducting magnets and require liquid helium. Okay, so the way they do is they get down to, they don't use high temperature superconductors, they go right down to lower field strengths can be achieved with permanent magnets, which are often used in open MRI scanners for claustrophobic people. Well, there you go. Recently, MRI has been demonstrated also with ultra-low fields, i.e. microtesla and millitesla range, where sufficient signal quality is made possible by the pre-polarization on the order of 10 to 100 millitesla by measuring the more precision fields at about 100 microtesla with highly sensitive superconducting quantum interference devices, SQIDs. That's outrageous. Okay, now, there are two time decay constants. Firstly, there's an echo, and the echo time decays with T1, T2. So this is important. There's two time decays and two time settings. One is there's T1, which I really don't know. T2 I do know, which is the rephasing of these little things. TR is the repetition rate. Bang, bang, bang. And then the, between the bangs, the pip, when you, it gets it ready to echo. So imagine it's a little like putting up a wall. Bang, and put up the wall to bat it back and cross. So it's a little like you're hitting a tennis racket, you're hitting the ball, and the other one is how close the returning server holds you. Each tissue returns to its equilibrium state after excitation by an independent relaxation process, T1. Splenic lattice, that is. So basically you, it's like imagine something which wants to flop down. So imagine you've got a peg on your line, and you can actually get the peg, if you're really careful, to stand vertically upwards, balance it up. You know these pegs that they tend to flop down. You can get, this is not holding it, this is flopping it up. And so, now, the trick is that this would, you can say, a little shake, a little breeze would all get it to go down. Now, in quantum, in this, there's not much energy in flipping, there's not much magnet, and so there's not much energy in flipping a magnet up there, so there's not much, they're fairly stable. If you put them up, they're fairly stable. But they flip down. So that's T1 is the actual size of the field. Okay, to create a T1 weighted image, magnetization is allowed to recover before the MRI signal by changing the repetition rate. Okay, so let's read that one again. To create a T1 rated image, magnetization is allowed to recover before measuring the MR signal by changing the repetition rate TR. So there's a time to dang, 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 and it says they change it. So I don't quite understand it. But essentially, you wait for a period of time and see at different times how much you get, how much echo you get with different rates. I was mentally confused there. So, if it falls over quickly, the image weighting is useful for assessing cerebral cortex and underlying fatty issue characteristics, focal liver lesions, and general for obtaining morphological information as well as post-contrast imaging. Okay, so basically they're saying it's good for fat. Because your fat, the molecules, protein is attached to fat. So what happens is,
Yes, son? Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.